It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 339. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can leave me a voicemail message, and I have a great voicemail I'm going to play in a couple minutes. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's also Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow. That's where you'll learn when I'm podcasting live, when I'm going to be a guest, any Mike Tech Show news and events, I will post it on Twitter. You can follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/MikeTechShow. Don't forget about the wiki. That's mtswiki.com. And let's get started on tonight's show. I have lined up a voicemail message, which a resume question's being asked. So going to address that and give you my opinion. I have a great email on a backup question. And you know the Mike Tech Show mantra, backup, backup, backup. We can never spend enough time on backup. So we're going to talk a little bit about backing up your data and going over some very specific information to help you get your data backed up. And we have lots more email. I'll catch up on some of the email. So let's get started with this voicemail question.
This is David Wilson, and I'm calling about a resume question for you. I work for a school district, and what my title boils down to is one word, I believe, from each our department is intern. When I started about a year and a half ago, I started out in desktop support, and now I got a promotion about 4 months ago and now doing network administration in a new location, but still working for the same school district. So my question is, when it comes time for the resume, what do I put down as the title of my position? I'm thinking of like network administrator intern. Then I talked to a colleague who said just throw the word intern out and just call it network administrator. And I'm just curious if you would consider that to be kind of a lie or too boastful in the resume. Just curious about your thoughts, and keep up the good work on the show. Thank you.
Great question. And I agree with your colleague. You can drop the term intern and put network administrator. There's no problem with that, and I don't believe you're lying. Just long as you put an accurate job description, make sure that references when they call, yes, you know, the word intern may come up. It may come up in the interview, but that's okay. I would put network administrator. Now, what's more important, how do you list the progression of promotions and changing jobs within one company and yet listing it in your resume? What I like to see is the company, let's say you're at ABC Corp and you've had three positions, and it's always great to show your growth path and the promotions. Very important. So you start with the latest position and work your way backwards. And what you do is you show your the company name and then, of course, the contact info, you know, in the resume. Then you indent and you have the job name and the date to present. Then you go down further and you have the job previous to that. So let's say you were senior network engineer, and before that you were a network administrator, and before that you were a network just general network support. that's okay to have those three titles, the three dates lining up, all indented under the one heading of the one company. Hiring managers love to see that because we see that you have progressed in the company, you've moved up, they believed in you, you've got a promotion, you've got additional responsibilities. That is excellent to show that and to show that progression. Very, very important. So don't be afraid to show some of those older titles because it shows how you grew within the company. That's an excellent way to do it. Don't be afraid to play with the title of the job, because sometimes I know I was in titles that it was a ridiculous title within the company that kind of pigeonholed that particular category. You know, they had an HR stamp with a title, but it didn't make sense in the real world on the resume, where you can adjust the title a little bit to make more sense for everybody who's looking at it. So that, I think, is important. I'll never forget one of my titles, and I hated this. It was the Manager of Distributed Computing. What's distributed computing? I mean, right off the bat, it has a meaning to some people, but not a lot of others. It would have been much better to have Network Manager or Enterprise Network Manager would make more sense. And so that was one of the titles that I've had, but yet adjusted it when appropriate and where appropriate on a resume. So this way, a hiring manager, HR department, it just makes sense and that it'll follow with a clearer description of what you really are doing. So I hope that helps. And just to remind everybody, I did, I think, one of the best shows. Now, I'm on show 339. Show 129, and I will have a link to it, I think is one of the most important shows that I've ever produced. And it's how to prepare for the job interview and how to write a resume and some examples or some do's and don'ts. But the audio description is a motivational talk on how to prepare for that job interview. And I can't tell you when I was going to say, you know, how many emails have I received on that thanking me for them finding a position or a job? And I just love hearing that. I have received hundreds and hundreds of emails telling me that they've used that to help them find a job. So I think it's worth mentioning again. Barb put it in the link in the chat. Thank you very much. And I'll make sure that that's in the show notes. If you haven't heard that, if you know someone who's looking for a job, who's going to be taking that interview, that's the show to listen to. Probably when I'm always asked, what is my favorite show? That is certainly one of my favorite shows that I've recorded because it's had the most impact on people's lives. I love it. So anyway, thank you. Here's a great question, and this is from Mike. He goes by Mike H., and the topic, saving QuickBooks files. Happy New Year. Hope your holidays were good. I do some computer work for friends, businesses, and part of that are his QuickBooks backups. I decided on a three-tier approach. First, he does a daily backup to a portable hard drive. Great. I completely agree with that. Then he uses the product we're going to talk about. He says, I then use sync back to copy the QuickBook files after hours to a second internal drive for a second local backup. Finally, Carbonite is scheduled to copy the QuickBook files up to its server, encrypt it from the second internal drive 1 hour later. This is a great tiered approach to backups, where you back up to a local drive, then you back up to an external drive, and then that drive up into the internet, into the cloud, using a service like Carbonite. This is a great example of having your important files backed up. He says, my issue is that sometimes the sync back transfer fails because he works late or forgets to close QuickBooks. The files don't transfer because they're in use. I know this because I have SyncBack set up to email me when the backup fails. Is there a way to copy the files while they are in use? Is that even advisable? No, it's not. Second, I have moved the SyncBack and Carbonite updates to later in the night. And that solves the problem when he is working late, but not when he forgets to close QuickBooks. Love the show. Keep up the good work. I don't know how you do it. You the man. Thanks, Mike H. Okay. So let's address the open files. Now, in a corporate environment, you can pay some serious money with servers and server-side software backing up files and backing up open files. Semantic has Backup Exec, which has modules to be able to back up open files. That's something that can work. If you do a whole snapshot of your system with a program like Shadow Protect, you can grab the open files. SyncBack, unfortunately, you're not going to be able to back up the open files. But I have a recommendation. What you need to do is kick off a process, a pre-process before QuickBooks, before SyncBack runs. And you want to check and see if QuickBooks is open. If it's open, then use a program like AutoHotkeys, which I'm going to have a link to. It's a free scripting program where you could exit and close out of QuickBooks cleanly. So we run this little macro that closes QuickBooks, and then the backup begins. So we need to test whether QuickBooks is running or not. Then, if it is, kick off this script. And if not, just go right in and start the backup. I know I make that sound easy, and that could get very difficult. And depending on what program is running, whether in your situation, it may not be QuickBooks. One of the challenges I used to have in the corporate environment would be individuals' PST files. If they kept Outlook open and their PST file was being loaded from a network share and it was open, you can't back it up. You cannot back up the PST file if Outlook is open. So what we would do is it would just skip and we would hope to grab it another night. And then occasionally we would send emails out to the users or we would notify that particular user, hey, we can't back up your file because it's open. So what you need to do, your client has to be disciplined to close his program when he's done. And you just got to hammer it and hammer them through. I have a client where I run a report and the software is Advisor's Assistant, AA. Every weekend, I have to do maintenance in this program. But if any user has the program open and they left it open, I can't run the maintenance. And the maintenance screen will tell me, and it's like, I can't run this. And so then I have to go log in at that user. So I'll go to my log me in. I'll log in at that user. I then I'll have to, you know, look up their password and then log in. And then once I log in as them, I close the AA client and then I can go run my maintenance. I'll email my main contact at the company that I had to do that because it takes extra billable time for me to log that person out. So now they'll go beat up that person to say, you got to remember to log out of that program. We're paying extra support dollars for Mike to go log you off. So what you need to do is stress, Mike, to your client that what if he fails to not exit the program and that is the night of a disaster. And then he's lost everything for all the work that he's done because you haven't been able to back it up. So you have to have some cooperation from the user. But in the event that you can't do it and you want to program, I recommend AutoHotkeys for automating the macro of being able to navigate from one program, you know, and all the options to exit out of a program. And the reason why I wanted to go generic like that, because I know a lot of you listening have clients in the situation where it's different programs. Here it's QuickBooks, but it may be another program. But the main example, and what I'm stressing, is the process that Mike is using is exactly what I would recommend for your important data. SyncBack. I always recommend SyncBack because you can download the free version. There's no excuse, none, for not getting a backup of your data because there are free programs out there. SyncBack looks complicated when you start it out. It wants you to create a profile. So you create a profile, call it backup. Now you create a backup job to backup, let's say, your documents to an external drive. So what I always do is I get an external drive and I make a directory in there called backup, and then I make subdirectories called documents, video, music, pictures, desktop, and then podcasts, and then maybe a couple other directories. I then create a job for each one of them, with the source being the source location of, let's say, documents. Then I point it to the destination directory on the external drive that's backup documents, and I pick that for the destination. I now create a separate job for each one of those directories. Now you create a group. And the group we call master backup. And in there, we add all of the little backup jobs to the one group. And then we schedule the group. So even though you could have 20 backup jobs, it's really only one job when you create the group. You add each of those individual ones, all the directories that you want, under the group, schedule the group, and that's it. I use this for lots of clients. For getting an image of your system and you're using Windows 7, it has built-in imaging software to get a full image of your system. There's no excuse for not getting a full image. If you're running Windows 7, I don't care what flavor it is, you should be getting a full image of your system. So to me, the ultimate backup is once a month, do a full image of your system, and in between, do sync backs of your data every night. The offsite services that we like and we know, you got Carbonite, but remember last week I read an email with, there are several issues with Carbonite. If you don't like Carbonite, you got Jungle Disk, you got Mozy. There's lots of great services for getting your data offsite. If it's important enough that you have to worry about a total disaster in your house, in your office, you better have your data off-site. So not just backed up, which that only protects you from a system failure. What if you have a catastrophic failure, like your house, God forbid, a serious disaster? You better have your data being backed up off-site. Keep that in mind. And I can't tell you how many times, and you've heard me talk about these stories on shows, where a client comes to me, their hard drive crashed, and they have no backups. Now, sometimes I'm able to retrieve the data, but there are times where I cannot, and their data is gone forever. Forever. Forever is an awful long time. Could you imagine having all those digital pictures for your kids, your grandkids, and never to be able to get them back? I'm being tough on you right now because I want you to give that a thought and think about your situation. And I'm giving you free solutions. So you got to take the time and you got to download the program. You got to install it. You got to invest in an external drive and you have to configure it and you have to set it up. That's it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts here. You have to do this and you have to do it with your data. Mike, I want to thank you for that email. And now let's move on to some other emails here. All right. This is from Lonnie. I have a printer problem that is making me crazy. I have an HP laser printer, 1600, connected to a Dell Windows 7 computer. I have shared it on the network, and it shows up on the XP computer that I'm having trouble with. When I send a test page to the printer on the Windows 7 computer, it shows up in the queue but will not print until I restart the print spooler on the Windows 7 computer. After just a short wait, the test pages then prints. Any ideas? I did make sure that the latest drivers were installed from HP, and the XP computer that I'm trying to print from also has an HP 1600 installed on it. So the drivers on the XP printer should be good, right? Well, that sounds correct. Any thoughts that you have would be appreciated. Love the show and keep up the great work. Since it's communicating and it eventually prints, it sounds like you're having a printer spooler issue on the Windows 7 system. What you want to do first, see if there's other jobs stuck in the queue, but it doesn't sound like this. A lot of times you need to stop the print spooler, go into the queue and delete, clean everything out and restart it and then resend the job. I know you said you have the latest drivers, but I'd still like you to check. Make sure you have the latest driver on the Windows 7 system. Make sure you have the latest driver on the HP system. Since you're communicating, the only other way I can suggest is that sometimes when you're communicating between XP and Windows 7, you need to make sure that you have a user account and password on both systems that are the same name for the account and the password, so it allows the permissions to be able to print. That's one. Two, are you an administrator on both systems when you're printing? That's something else to look at. We always look at permissions. I can't think of anything else to try. What other things? Boy, we end up always sinking into printer issues. I know I've shared lots of printer issues from clients. Are there any other troubleshooting things that I'm missing off the top of my head? Help me out. Email me, miketechshow@gmail.com. I will then share them with Lonnie, and I will follow up on another podcast talking about that. So Lonnie, try some of the things that I suggested. Also, make sure that you have the right path for the port on XP that you're printing. And the port path is //, the name of the Windows 7 system, /, and the share name of the printer. Let me say that again. The local port name on XP should be //, the name of the Windows 7 system, /, and then the printer. And let me know. This is from Christian. And Christian has a pod-catching software called PodBreeze. And he's reminding me that when I recommend it, when the listener wrote in who had the problem with Juice, and Juice isn't supported anymore, and I suggested Zipod, well, Christian says, please don't forget PodBreeze. It's still available at www.podbreeze.com, and it will be maintained as needed because I hate iTunes. And that was from Christian. Thank you very, very much for that. And he is a longtime listener of the show. Here's a question, and this is from Mark Williams. Mike, I have a possible answer from one of your listeners and a question of my own. First, the answer. In show 338, Ruben had a problem with his laptop not going into hibernation. The first thing I would try is to go into the BIOS and load the failsafe or default settings and see if it solves your problem. Many BIOS configs also have a power tab, and you might have options like S1 or S3 or APM, that's advanced power management. You resetting the BIOS doesn't fix the issue. Try switching to a different setting in the power tab. I have also included a link to an article to change the hibernation settings from within Windows. I hope one of these ideas helps. Ruben. And I'll have his link in the show notes. Now for my question. I am moving one of my clients from an on-site Exchange Server 2003 to the new Business Productivity Online Suite from Microsoft. The migration is going well, but I have run into a speed bump. My client has about 6 public folders in Exchange that are shared contact lists, and BPOS doesn't support public folders. They say you can either move the public folders into SharePoint or use a shared mailbox. The shared mailbox seems like the best way to go, since no one at their office is familiar with SharePoint, but they are all comfortable with Outlook, and a shared mailbox should have a similar look and feel to the public folders they are used to. Do you know of an easy way for me to export the public folders into a PST? Yes, I do. File, so I can import them back into the newly created BPOS shared mailbox. Thanks for the great show and keep up the good work. Couple things. One, try using the standard export, but you got to make sure that you're in an Outlook client connected to the Exchange 2003 server. Open up the public folders, make sure you are an admin of those public folders, and then you can do file export and export it to a PST. That's one. Two, if you have command line access of the server, which I'm sure you do, of the Exchange 2003 server, there is a great utility called EXMerge. That's an Exchange utility from Microsoft that allows you to export mailboxes and public folders to a PST file. So you can pick those public folders and have them as PSTs. Now, as part of the process, EXMerge then would like you to go, hey, would you like to merge them into somewhere else? You don't have to do that. You can still have the separate mailbox, but now you have a PST file that you can now import into this very specific shared mailbox that you created. So you got two ways. Good luck, and let me know how you make out. This next email is from Lester, and the subject, thanks, Mike. I just wanted to write and let you know that I appreciate and enjoy your podcast. I am now about a 2-year veteran of using Linux for just about everything, and am happy that way. But there are still family members and friends who have Windows, and your show gives me enough tips and ideas to be on top of things when they ask me for tech support. I also try to use your Amazon link to help support the show. Thanks, Mike, for the job you are doing so very well. This is Lester, and he, a.k.a. the Amish Trucker. Thank you very, very much. I remember, and I've told this story a long time ago, I have a following of truckers who use podcasts as a way to entertain themselves on the long journeys and drives. A lot of truckers listen to tech podcasts. It's just great. And thank you so much for replying back like that. I really appreciate it. So thank you very much. And remember, my first listener ever was Trucker Tom. And I'll never forget the first email almost 6 years ago. And he ended the email. And it's the first email I've ever received. And at the end, it says, he said, I'm out there. I'm listening. And I always think about that. And it's what motivates me to keep doing this. And it's emails like this and your support. And keep in mind, please, if you are buying from Amazon, continue to use my link on the upper left-hand side at MikeNation.net, MikeTechShow.com. On the upper left-hand side, there is an Amazon link. You get the same items. You can still search and go anywhere you want within Amazon. But once you click on that link and it takes you to Amazon, anything you purchase, I will get a commission. Your price remains the same, but you're doing a great thing and helping support the Mike Tech Show, and I thank you so very much for that. Final email, which also happens to lead into the music for tonight. And this is from Matt. Hi, Mike. I'm a fellow computer consultant that moonlights as a singer-songwriter. I love your podcast and the way you feature independent musicians. I just released an album of adult contemporary rock tunes and wanted to pass along the tracks for your listening pleasure. Feel free to feature any of the tunes on the podcast. I recommend the up-tempo tune Halfway There or the mellow jazz-influenced song Melts Away. He gave me a code. When I got home tonight, I read this email. I downloaded the album and Matt, or the whole list of his latest CD. Matt, thank you very much. This is Matt Rodella, and the song is Halfway There. Give a listen, and then I'll be back to wrap up.
His audience lays on her bed, maybe only in his dreams, but tonight feels rare. Ooh, and the pleasure in your smile shows me I'm halfway there. Ooh, and the passion in your eyes shows me you care, and I believe. Pour into me, to my surprise. La-di-da-da, la-di-da-da, la-di-da-da-da. Happiness with you is here, with me in these times we share. La-di-da-da, la-di-da-da. Time was short together, but it's you who helped me see. Time is short, time is precious, got to realize my dreams. Oh, and the pleasure in your smile shows me I'm halfway there. Oh, and the passion in your eyes shows me you care. To this roller coaster, it's getting scary as we climb. As we climb, though we're taking different pathways to the top, I know it was worth the shows me you care. Ooh.
That is Matt Rodella and the song Halfway There. And Matt is a computer consultant. Thank you so much for sharing that music with us, Matt. And I hope you all enjoyed it. And I will have a link to Matt's site so you can support Matt, because that's what we like doing. Giving support to the independent artists and musicians. Love doing that. Thank you so much for emailing me, Matt. And as you know, that's one of the things I like. So, you know, recommend if you know a really good artist that they need that, I don't know, what little I can do to help maybe give a little break, I think that's great. I've had some guests in the chat, actually, where I played their music and they were talking with everybody. So lots of fun. Love supporting independent musicians and artists. So that's it for tonight's show. I want to thank you so very, very much for being part of the Mike Tech Show family and for listening and downloading and subscribing to the show and supporting the show. Thank you so much. We'll be back same time, same channel next week. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.